Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call QTBAR. Okay, that's the right answer. So good evening again, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. That is conducted weekly on a frequency 146.835 MHz. The 10-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. Peter is located in Pearl River, New York, but it's right on the New Jersey border and serves our area very nicely. There is no PL required. If it is required for any reason, it'll be 151.4, and the offset, of course, is 600 kilohertz, minus 600 kilohertz. So, might want to know why we gather here. We gather here to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby, and of course the arts of operating, and what we do with our hobby, and what we do as a service, hopefully to others. In any case, this net is also an opportunity to post your for sale swap or wanted items, and to make general announcements, of course, so we encourage comments as well as questions. And we even encourage you to check in even if you don't have any of those things, including a for sale or wanted item, because we'd like to know what's on your mind and who's there. And we can kind of at least trim around the edges of where, if we know you're there, but it's hard to anticipate what your needs might be if we don't even know that you haven't checked in, you know, because you haven't checked in. Got some interesting topics tonight already queued up. Interesting article, in the lead article in QST, but there's some others as well. QST came out today, so that's always exciting. So hopefully, you know, we'll have an opportunity to talk about that a little bit. So with no further ado, we would like stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey to check in with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or the above. Please call KTBAR.
This is W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
This is W82ISE with a question.
All right, hold on. So I got Don with a comment. I have WA2ISC Bob with a question. Okay, anybody other with a whiskey? All right, any other whiskey stations? All right, November stations.
Net control. November 2, Sierra Hotel Oscar. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Ollie. What are your preferences?
I'm going to have a query about antenna later.
Okay, I'll put you down for a question. Very good. Any other Novembers? Alrighty, how about Alphas? Alrighty, and how about Kilos? Alrighty, well, I guess we don't have any else at this point. Before we run down the list here, I do want to point out that this weekend there's a couple of things going on. Jamboree on the Air will be on the air starting at 8 p.m. tomorrow. Actually, 0100 hours UTC, so our friends in Europe might be looking for some for contacts or for us late afternoon contacts. And of course, through Saturday and Sunday, so it's two full days, 48 hours. It's not a contest. An opportunity to just contact the station and rag you a little bit with scouts from around the world. Tell them about how you got into amateur radio and really else query them as to what they're about, what rank they are, and what their favorite scouting activities are, and blah, blah, blah. Get them to talk on the radio. That's a key thing. Get a kid to talk on the radio, that adds a huge amount of stickiness. And they'll more likely ultimately get on the air as ham themselves, which would be just lovely. So be aware of that. I will be operating on Friday night from a school up in Ramsey because of competing Scout Council activities, some of which involve jamboree on the air at sites, as part of camporees, and also a couple of units running their own closed events for their own units, kind of undermined the turnout. But we did have two groups that have decided they would like a program, so we're combining them, and we'll get them squared away tomorrow night. So we'll probably pop on this repeater and others tomorrow evening, sometime after 7, late at 7:30 or 8. So if you're around, feel free to keep an ear out. We'll be happy to give a contact here and such. Alrighty, with no further ado, W2JEK, you had a comment, K2BIR.
K2BIR, and that W2JEK, good evening everybody. And my comment is the usual, my next VE test session will be on Friday night, November 17th at 7 p.m. And that's going to be at the Township of Washington Senior Center, which is on 350 Hudson Avenue. And that directions to that are on the Barra, www.bara.org website. And if you're coming, if you don't have a license, you'll need your social security number. And you'll need an ID, one photo ID or two non-photo IDs. A photo ID, usually a driver's license or a passport, or sometimes a school ID or something like that would be appropriate. Test fee is $15. And the if somebody has a commercial license and has this license already with a commercial license for some commercial type equipment, they will have an FRN number associated with that license. And they will need that FRN number if you're going for a ham license. Now, ham licenses hams who are already licensed with a ham license have that FRN number on their current license. And if they are people who are licensed with a ham license, please bring your license and a copy of that license. And again, you'll need they'll use their FRN number rather than a social security number, and not part of the application. And if you want to bring a calculator, that's fine. It has to be a calculator. It cannot be a cell phone or an iPod or some other unit. It's strictly a calculator, and its memory must be empty, nothing stored in it. To assist you with the test. So, I think that about covers things. W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Anybody have any questions for Don? Okay. I have one for you, kind of funny. So, I have a junior in my name, and for years, in the FCC database, for whatever reason, whoever did the data entry put the junior as capital J, capital R, which, you know, it never really bothered me because I was the only one who looked at it, but every so often, you know, you'd have a, you know, you'd print a copy of your license or something, and, you know, people would, look at it funny, and so I decided that I should just call up the Adelbert LDEC and say, hey, here's the problem. They said, no, yeah, no problem, but tell you what, we're going to change the N on North to, from just the letter N to spell out North, because what will happen is if we just try to change the capitalization of part of your name, they'll get confused. So what you do is you change both the address and the name, and magic of magics, it becomes a it comes through. So now the word North in my address is spelled out, and there's a lowercase R in junior. All through an hour's worth of administration, as they say. So, W2JK, K2BA, I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, okay, very good, Gordon. Yeah, I was thinking of the two scouts, father and son, that we did. It was a couple of years ago at the church. It was Myers, I think. They lived in River Ridge. Father was Richard, and the son put his name down as Richie. His birth name was probably Richard, but he used his just Richie, which is his nickname. Probably tell father and son apart. Those things do happen. But I know I had Stoyan, KD2BVW, had a problem. They spelled his last name wrong, and I had to get a it was correct on my paperwork, and I got a hold of the his license came back with a misspelling, so I got a hold of the EEC and oh, hey, this is wrong, and they got to correct it for us. So not, things like that do happen sometimes. This is one thing, too, I have to stress to anybody that's going to take a test. Attendmanship is very important. Oh, yeah, one other thing you will need is an email address, too, because your license is going to come by email. And all of that information, the email information, I used to have a little box for the email. It wasn't big enough. Now it's a big box that's across the whole width of the paper because there's so many letters in some of these email addresses. But your penmanship has to be immaculate. And I have a copy of capital letters on a piece of paper that come with each of the test booklets. That's the way I want to see things. I don't want to see these lowercase letters that look like hieroglyphics sometimes, and that's why I try to avoid that poor penmanship as much as possible. Back to net, W2JK.
Yeah, well, certainly. And while my handwriting isn't exactly wonderful, I can assure you I didn't do JR in capital letters. So. Lord knows what happened there, but it is what it is. Unless I did everything in capital letters and they just decided to fix it that way. But my entry is upper-lower, or was upper-lower, except for the JR, which was just all upper. So, anyway, your points are well taken. Anybody else have any comments?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Alrighty. Any more, Don?
I think that's it for now, Gordon. The only comment I have is a poor band conditions we've been having. That's another story. At any rate, back to that. W2JK.
I hope tomorrow's good because we're going to be on 40 and hopefully we'll do well. Alrighty. Let's see. Next station is WA2ISE. Your query, sir, KTBAR.
K2BAR is WA2ISE. Hi, Gordon. I was wondering if you were able to install that mesh node on top of that dorm over in William Patterson. I haven't seen anything on my 900 megahertz node, though.
No, not yet. We have the length of the cables. There was a follow-on requirement for figuring out how to package and place the equipment that's at the base of the installation. In other words, the indoor stuff, and we needed to get clarification on that point, and I have not as of yet gotten that, so we're hoping to do so tomorrow, and we'll see what happens in a couple of nice days next week, and if we can get the packaging done over the weekend, which shouldn't be very hard, and the cable all tested, should be in, as they say, Fat City. We'll see. And what Bob's referring to is there's going to be an opportunity to put some new nodes up on the structures at William Patterson, and that's going to be a huge, huge benefit to the Northern Valley and, you know, City of Patterson, and extending all the way out to Alpine. So it'll be pretty exciting. These are marquee sites, big time marquee sites. And they'll be on 2.4 and 900 on one side, and as we get the other side up, it'll be 900 and 5 gigs, so it'll be pretty exciting, as we said. And we'll see how it all goes. W2IC, QTBR.
Okay, Gordon. Shall I expect to, shall I hope to see anything on 2.4 gigs this way, or is that going the west of Wheeling-Patterson? Over.
No, actually, the 2.4 gig side should be pointing in your direction. I think I told you what structure they're going on, but I can put that in an email to you. But there'll be a 2.4 and a 900 facing over here, and there will be a 900 and actually the 2.4 will be an Omni. It's a MIMO Omni, and 900 will be a panel lens on a Nano Loco pointed in this general direction. And the 5 gig will be an Omni. Yet another structure with a 900 meg. It's on the same frequency as the first one, but it will be pointed out toward the valley, basically around the. It'll be pointed toward the northern end of Garrett Mountain, and out toward Clifton in that direction. The 2 900s will actually not be pointing at each other, but they're going to be so close that they will just be fine. Back and forth, and if at some point we decide that their back and forth trunking is an issue, we'll do something about that, and it'll be easily resolved. So, we're building out that network. I mean, there's a lot of nodes slated for Wheeling-Patterson, Garrett Mountain, Zay County OEM, which is also along that ridge, but again facing in a different direction. So we're going to have a lot of little bits and pieces that we're going to make really good use of. So it's exciting.
Okay, Gordon. I guess I should set the my 2.4 gig. I'll need to change the. I guess the distance parameter, I have to figure how far away Wheeling-Patterson is from here. Over.
Yeah, whichever is slightly longer, Bob. Wheeling-Patterson, that'd be fine. Yeah, Wheeling-Patterson is fine, yes. That'll work just fine. And then, 900... I would set the distance parameter again to match that. Because you're likely to pick up only the 2.4 and the 900 that's facing this direction. The 2.4 is, as I said, an Omni, as is the 5 gig, but there are different locations on the campus. And it's likely the 2.4 and 900 will go up first for a whole lot of reasons. But we're excited about it. But those are the ones you're going to get, connected to, I would think, one or both.
Okay, Gordon. Do you happen to know offhand, what the distance is? It's probably about a mile less than to your QTH. Over.
My QTH, meaning the one on Garrett Mountain.
Oh, no, it's over in, you're in New Milford or Bergenfield, on Vivian Street, if I remember rightly.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're somewhere between 7 and 11 miles. I haven't really looked at it in a while. I just don't remember off the top of my head. But to Wheeling-Patterson, you're not exactly in their backyard.
Okay. Well, I guess I can look on Google, find out where they are, and try to measure off how far and set it maybe 20% higher. Anyway, K2BAR, WA2IC.
Yeah, and that's a good point you brought up, Bob. About 20% longer than the distance is a good number to use in all cases. if you want to be shorter, if you're shorter, you're just going to be wasting your time. If you are slightly longer, then you'll help with the randomization, and you'll actually not have it. You won't be looking for an acknowledgement when one has not yet gotten to you. So if you set it too short, you literally will start transmitting again before it's time. That will slow things up. So good for you. Anything else? Anybody else have anything for that matter on this one?
Gordon, I think that should it for now. K2BAR W8YC back to net.
NJ2BS repeat.
Alrighty, very good. Well, thank you. So the next thing would be Ali. So N2SHO, what is your question, K2BAR?
W2CCD, this is N2SHO. Good evening, Gordon, and everybody on the net. Well, my question is a resumption for last week's talk we had about the antenna situation that I have in my rental for HF. And I was talking to somebody, and they suggested that I run the rain gutter in the building as a random wire antenna, sort of, and just connected to an antenna tuner. And I was reading about that online, and I was going to ask if you have any experience with that or know somebody who did it, how was that going on with them?
Well, I think it'll go fine. You know, your biggest problem might be a ground or a counterpoise to that, but, you know, lighting up a metal rain gutter system, assuming all the pieces are bonded together, can be exceptionally effective.
Right, that's very good to know. What about the noise to the neighbors? Are they going to hear me coming out of their TV speakers or anything? Because that would be another problem that I really would like to avoid.
You know the old story, you'll never know until you try it.
And that is the problem. Alright, just wanted to get your input on this, I guess I'm gonna have to try it actually, and most likely I'm gonna go for this solution just to get an HF, just for the heck of it at this point. Anyway, thank you Gordon, and back to you, and to SHO.
As I said, the ground is going to be important, not just for the radiating part, but also for the to keep that problem to a minimum. And then, of course, try operating at 25 or 50 watts. It might be a little frustrating at times with QSOs, but at least you'll make some. So that's something to consider. The other thing to consider is that don't talk about your worries about RFI on the air. Pretend like you're totally oblivious to it. Never, ever, ever talk about it on the air. Because if it bleeds through somebody's radio, they'll jump on that, and that'll make your life more complicated, more than it needs to be.
That does make sense, actually. I never thought of that, but yeah, so I agree with you on that. Back to you, and to SHO.
Was there another station with a comment?
This is Don W2JEK. One thing about the low power too, Ali. If you have a fire alarm system in your building, and you press the transmitter button and the fire alarm goes off, so it gives you an idea what you're going to have to deal with. The fire department's going to know it was probably the detector in your building or in your apartment that set the thing off. Of course, having the rain gutter outside should minimize that possibility. It would be more liable to happen if you had something in the building, inside the building. It's something to keep in mind. And as far as the voice goes, if you can use CW, that would be an asset too. Two ways that nobody can understand CW unless they a radio operator as well. They just hear a few clicks on their radio or TV. Also, it gets through a little better than the sideband might. So that's a possibility you might want to explore also. Back to that, W2JK.
Good point. Any more from you, Ollie?
Comment,
go right ahead.
Good evening, Gordon. AC2GI checked in late. Also, with the fire alarm, a lot of fire alarms now have voice evacuation messages, and we had a problem with the shack in our building that everything we said was coming out of the speakers throughout the fire alarm system. So that's another thing to be on guard for. AC2GI, back to that.
Just curious, Rich, was it coming out demodulated or partially demodulated? Or was it just incoherent Donald Duck stuff?
Oh, they could tell word for word what we were saying.
Yeah, you probably had enough residual carriers so as to act as a BFO. Good points, though. Alrighty. Anybody else?
M2S Control with a query.
Go right ahead.
Gordon, I think I missed that point about the fire alarm going off because of the transmission. Is it because of RFI or I'm not sure what would make it go off for that.
Right, it's RFI. Although I must say the newer ones I have here don't seem to be as susceptible. I mean, they're brandy new. I mean, they're current production Kidde, either CO detectors or smoke detectors, but they're pretty darn marvelous. I mean, no problem at all.
Well, right, I got you. The building itself doesn't have a fire alarm system that I know. The only problem is if one of the neighbors do have it, then I might have a problem. But I don't really think one would actually install it on their own, but it is a possibility, and I think I'll have to look into that as well. And so it's a show, back to you.
Yeah, I mean, well, the first order problem is, you know, triggering the alarm itself. Second is having it become a receiver and demodulating your voice. And the biggest problem, as I say, about that is that, you know, if they're wired together, that means the whole building's going to go off. It's pretty exciting. But if you don't think that it's set up that way, you'll be fine. You know what? I tell everybody this. Your mileage may vary. You won't know until you try. So, you know, one day, like during the middle of the day when a lot of people aren't around, you know, run a test and see what happens.
All right, I'll answer that. The other question I have would be for coming out of the speaker. How would that happen if I'm operating single side band, which doesn't even have a carrier? And for lower side band, I think that wouldn't even work, if I understand correctly. But again, I'm not really that experienced in HF, so I'm just trying to collect as much information as I can get. Back to you.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, well, it really depends. You may not have a problem at all. You're just going to have to try it. My gut feeling is you've got more than an even chance of having no problem. But I would start at 25 watts. I would do it like at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10:30 in the morning. I'm not so sure I'd do it tomorrow because Fridays are notorious for people to be home if they work from home. But you could try it if you want. And maybe on Monday move to 50 watts if everything goes well. I mean, you know, keep in mind that your own apartment's going to be the hottest spot in the in the equation. So you'll know.
positive. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I think I'll give it a try most likely next weekend, though. I'm not, I don't really think I'm gonna have enough time for this weekend. So most likely next weekend, and hopefully it's gonna work. Otherwise, you're not gonna hear me on the air anymore. Anyway, M2SH back to that.
Oh, we won't hear you on HF. We'll hear you on other bands, but okay. Very, very good. Also, tomorrow night, there's another announcement here that Farallon is running a talk. They have a speaker on digital, or software-defined radio and digital operations by N2RJ, and they will not be at the club. They will be at the Senior Center. So that's where we have the auction, and that's where we have the Christmas party, and occasionally other speaker events, so, you know, it's fine. But anyway, it's all good. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about? All right, any other late check-ins? All right, well, just a reminder that Jamboree on the Air starts at 0100 hours UTC. So in the late afternoon, early evening, you can have some contacts with Europeans. We're already starting the Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA. And hopefully you'll, you know, engage the scouts with conversation as you go. And have some fun, just ask about their ranks and what their favorite scouting experiences are, favorite, least favorite, blah, blah, blah. You'll do fine. Just get them to talk on the air. It's half the battle. Alrighty. Last call. Anybody else? D2BAR.
Quick question.
Okay, I got two. Rich, your question, and I heard W2TU checking in late.
Does anybody have experience with JT Alert installations and configuring it to HRD logbook?
Sorry, what was it that you wanted to connect with logbook?
There's a integration software that goes from the WSJTX for FT8 to HRD logbook, and it's called JT Alert. And I was just wondering if anybody has any experience integrating it to your logbook.
No, that sounds like a really good one. Very interesting. So it would alert you based on a needed multiplier.
Yes, it alerts you to that, and it also, when you click on log in the WSJT software, it automatically enters it in your HRD, so you don't have to import it.
That would be sweet. So JT Alert HRD, and what was the third piece of software? I'm going to put this in the notes and put out a request on the ComTech group.
Well, for FT8 mode, you use the WS, that's Whiskey Sierra Juliet Tom dash X software, and they have a JT Alert X, and then all of that integrates to Ham Radio Deluxe.
Okay. Very good. That's very interesting. Very, very good. I will put that out there. By the way, we have a email group, ComTech group, on Yahoo Groups. Hopefully you're subscribed. If you're not, shoot me an email. We'll get you hooked up. Anything else, Mr. Rich, before we go to Mr. Chris?
Actually, no. That was your email that I just saw that reminded me that it's Thursday.
Oh, the email that regarding the net?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I might need to send that out maybe an hour or two earlier than I did, but yes. I was wondering if that was actually an effective tool. I'm going to suggest that it might be.
That's all I have, AC2GS.
Okay, Rich. I'm just putting that out there. W2TU, Chris, what are your intentions this evening and how are you? I heard him check in. I then heard him on 220, and now I'm not hearing him back here. Oh, well. All right. Anybody else that want to check in?
WA2ISC with a comment about the setting up the fire alarm.
Yeah, hold on a second, Bob. Was the other station a double with Bob?
W2SE.
Yeah, his name is Frank Casey, 2KAE. I was just listening, and sounded like I heard Chris on Simplex. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought I heard. All right, no big deal.
Okay, so we got two stations in here. W2SE, Bruce, good evening. We'll get your intentions in a second. And KC2, what was that again, and your name?
NJ2BS, repeat.
It's KC2KAE, name is Frank. Just mobile here on the way to work, just listening, and I thought I heard Chris coming in Simplex over here on the parkway, so I thought maybe that's why you guys didn't hear him check back in. I don't know. I could be wrong, but just throwing that out there.
Oh, it's entirely possible. My Omni tops out at 82 feet above my house, or above the ground, I should say, and a G7144, so it's likely to hear him just fine on Simplex. So, sure. Oh, what the heck. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. W2SC, KTBAR. Any questions, comments, confusions, Mr. Bruce?
Good evening, Gordon. KTBAR in the group, W2SC. Now, just regarding the bands aren't great in terms of really good DX, but the bands all seem to be long now. 40 is long, although I was getting invis also. The max I got on 40 today was about 750 miles, which is about 100 miles further than normal. I was reaching well down into Georgia and Tennessee, which I haven't been able to do before that. 20 is getting all the way to the left coast now, and I'm running low power with a wire antenna, so it's considerably better than it was.
Good point. Good point. Anybody else have any observations on propagation? I haven't forgotten you, Bob.
W2JEK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, and my ISO, I have the WWV frequencies, 2.5, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And today, I usually skip through them to see what things are like between here and Colorado. Today, for the first time in a long time, that I heard WWV on 25 megahertz. A really good signal out here.
Yeah, are you hearing Hawaii on any of the bands?
I really don't know. I know if I don't recall hearing that, but I don't listen to it that often, you know. I just listen to it just quick to see. I mean, I don't think I've heard it at all recently on Hawaii. I know it's the female voice that comes before the male voice.
Yep, that's correct. Okay. Well, very good. Very good. All right, let's go over to Bob here. Kind of flip-flopping subjects here, but let's go back to the smoke detector, CO detector, modulation, interference, triggering, whatever you want to call it, problem. WA2ISC, K2BAR.
K2BAR, WA2ISC. I was just going to say, like, if you do manage to trip the alarms, I would keep quiet about it because fire departments get real upset and they probably not going to care that you're still a legal transmitter and not. It's the alarm's fault. And also, you may work fine on one band, but run into trouble on some other bands. So that could be a complicating factor as well. So, but Yeah, if you do manage to trip it, well, I'd just avoid using that band for a while and go to some other band. Oh, over.
Yeah, and in a multiple dwelling unit, that could be true because you could be automatically triggering the presence of the fire department. So one never knows, but fair enough. Good point.
Yeah, I would just sort of keep quiet and let it be a mystery to them.
Okay, was there another station?
This is W2JEK. It's quite possible that these people know what detector is the active detector when they... And then these follow-up systems are pretty complicated. They know right which room to go to or which apartment to go to right away because of the way these detectors are set up. So if you do trip the thing, just shut down and don't say anything. And, oh, what happened? You know, hide your radio so they don't see, know what had happened.
Yeah, make sure you have your TV on. My honest opinion is you're going to have probably less trouble with that than you would 10, 20 years ago. I know when we remodeled the initial, the detectors we put in here were not happy campers, and I replaced them, and they did well, and I replaced them again, and they're doing fine, too. So there was a point with the first set of detectors I couldn't run 50 watts on 40 or 15 or anything in between, but 40 and 15 were particularly problematic. And higher power on 6 and 2 were even a problem, but they're also a problem. 2-meter FM was a problem for my neighbor 5 houses down across the street. On 2-meter FM, I was getting into their speakers on their household computer in their front room. And, when they told me about it, I said, well, you need to get better speakers because those are unacceptable. I wasn't operating high power, and if I happen to be operating from my car, you hear the same thing. So it's not my big antennas that are the issue. It's the susceptibility of your speakers. They were $10 speakers, for God's sake. I mean, $10 speakers on a $2,000 computer, I'm not going to have a stroke over it. But anyway, anybody else? Okay, W2TU one more time. I guess not. If anyone works Chris in the near future, would you remind him that he did get through and he was acknowledged several times? See if I can hunt him down probably tomorrow after work on 2 meters or 440, even 220. All right, 7-3 guys, have a great night, and we'll call it square here. I was going to bring up the article in QST. It's a really neat little Arduino 432 Uber low power beacon, and very exciting. So, you can hear it for a couple of miles in relatively low power, but it's a CW beacon kind of thing, and very cool. So, something to think about. Anyway, hopefully, we'll get to that next week. All right, 7-3, and have a good one. Thank everybody for their participation tonight, and we'll go from there next week. It's K2BAR W2TTT Returner, Peter General, my amateur radio use.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Repeater, use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.